Big 12 open for business.
Thank you, ESPN.
You know, Mitch.
They love the Cougars.
Mitch Harper.
Welcome on in, Cougar Tracks Podcast, powered by KSLSports.com. I'm your BYU insider, Mitch Harper. So much to unpack. BYU's 2024 football schedule is out. The Big 12 Conference released the dates of the 2024 slate. We got to unpack all of it, and I'll share my thoughts here in this edition of the show, breaking down the 2024 schedule. You can follow me on X at Mitch_Harper. Follow me on Instagram there, same handle as well. And then also KSL Sports. Download the KSL Sports app. Go to KSLSports.com. Follow all of our socials, X, Instagram, Facebook, TikTok. You know the drill. And subscribe to the podcast. So BYU comes into 2024 a 5-7 season a year ago, looking to get back to, honestly, respectability and get back to the postseason. And it's going to be another tough slate for BYU in 2024. There's no doubt about it. It's another tough schedule for the Cougars, as now we kind of see how it all stacks up, all the bye weeks, all the weeks that are home and away. It's all in front of us now. And here's the schedule. August 31st, you start off with Southern Illinois. Friday, September 6th at SMU. Saturday, September 14th at Wyoming. September 21st, the Big 12 opener. Kansas State comes to Provo for the first time since 1977. September 28th, a trip to the banks of the Brazos River at Baylor, McLean Stadium. October 12th, Arizona rolls into Provo. First time since Rob Gronkowski was a Wildcat that Arizona's rolling into Provo. And then another home game, either Friday or Saturday, October 18th or 19th, Oklahoma State. October 26th, a cross-country trip to Orlando to face UCF. And then the controversial date of November 9th, BYU goes to Utah. We'll get to that momentarily. Saturday, November 16th, Kansas. November 23rd at Arizona State. November 30th, Senior Day, the Houston Cougars. Okay, that's the schedule for BYU. We got to start things off with that Utah game. And look, I'm getting flamed to the high heavens for my take on social media. And look, my commentary on X might be a little bit overzealous and like, oh, I just love doing something non-traditional. Like, I guess where my thought was, and it still remains, is that I like that the Big 12 is thinking outside the box, and I'm open to it. I love the idea of doing something different. If BYU and Utah, when they were independent and Pac-12, had Utah fought the Pac-12 and said, hey, we might be in your league now, but we want to play BYU every year at the end of the season, we're doing that. And if that continued throughout the years of independence and Pac-12 affiliation for the two schools, then I could see why you'd be ticked that the Big 12 is shaking this up. But the thing is, folks, tradition's gone now for this series. Tradition in college football, period, is gone. We're in a world now where USC's in the Big Ten. We're in a world where Arizona and West Virginia are in the same conference. Stanford and Cal are in the ACC. BYU's in the Big 12. Tradition is gone. And the tradition that everyone continues to romanticize about with Rivalry Weekend, those matchups are going to take the priority on the TV spots to get eyeballs on the marquee games. Not BYU Utah. That's just what it is. And maybe this is a case of the Big 12 saying that the BYU-Utah rivalry from their conversations with TV networks maybe isn't as big of a deal as we think. And I think that's okay to admit. Here locally in the state of Utah, we know the history. We know the tradition of how great this series is. Think about all the years of those KSL Sports Live montages of the highlights and the fans saying, I hate them! I freaking hate them! Like, those are sweet. We know the history of this thing, okay? Nationally, there's not much knowledge of BYU-Utah because, quite frankly, this game has never taken on a network television spotlight. Think about all the years of independence in Pac-12, 2011 to 2021. The game was primarily played on ESPN2 at around 8 o'clock. There was a few FS1s. There was one network TV appearance. That was 2016 on Fox. First year, Kalani Sitake, you know, former coordinator under Whittingham, now coaching against him. There's some good storylines there. One network television appearance. There was a few back in the WAC. There was some ABC regional games. But really, this has never been a series that has taken on the national spotlight. And the Big 12 Conference looks at this and says, how do you amplify the story of BYU Utah? What has Brett Yormark always told us? He's all about storytelling, okay? You've got a great rivalry that the TV networks love. It was one of the big selling points as to why you want to get the Four Corners to bring BYU and Utah together. It's a great game to have for the networks. And you've lost Texas and Oklahoma. So BYU and Utah has the potential, and I think, quite frankly, it will be the best rivalry game in this conference. We already know that. Now it's just a matter of the rest of the league and the rest of the nation to understand that. So how do you elevate the profile of the game? Maybe you do a trial balloon and you go for 1 year, see what it looks like on November 9th. And to kind of ease the blow of doing that, you give both teams a bye before to get ready and have 14 days of buildup for BYU and Utah. I'm okay with that. It's kind of like what LSU and Alabama do. 2 weeks to build up for a huge game. And I know Alabama's biggest rival is Auburn, but the biggest threat to them in the heyday of the SEC West days was LSU. It wasn't Auburn. Auburn is kind of that team they put up with to just, it's almost like Auburn is Utah State to BYU. Right? I mean, Alabama and Auburn, yes, in-state rivalry, and it's well-documented, the Iron Bowl, but LSU is the bigger threat more times than not in the SEC for the Tide. Get an extra week to get ready for LSU's talent. Same deal here. And I'm just okay, again, with thinking outside the box because, folks, the Big 12 Conference, I'm not saying anything groundbreaking, it's the third-best league. We're in a world now where it's SEC and Big Ten, and you're already seeing it with kind of the media talking points, the conversation, the way too early looks. It's all SEC, Big Ten. Nothing else exists in the college football world. So, again, you go to that rivalry weekend and you look at the games. You're talking Auburn, Alabama, Michigan, Ohio State. Lock it in. That's a 10 a.m. Fox guaranteed. No questions about that. Then you've got Florida, Florida State. You've got USC, Notre Dame when Notre Dame goes to L.A. on opposite years. You've got the return of Texas, Texas A&M. You've got Oregon and Washington joining the fray. And I bring up these games because they are in leagues where the networks are paying massive amounts of money. Now, ESPN and Fox are still paying a pretty good lump sum of money starting in 2025 for the Big 12, $2 billion worth. So there's investment here in the Big 12. It's not like it's chump change for ESPN and Fox. So they want to get their return on investment too. But you got to get a little bit creative if you're going to get that ROI because if you just stack it up against Michigan, Ohio State, BYU versus Utah, it's not going to work. And I think also too, that Thanksgiving weekend, you think about it, because I think there was a case to be made about having BYU, Utah maybe play on Thanksgiving night. Because Fox doesn't have a college football presence at night to go up against the Egg Bowl. Made a lot of sense. But if you're Kalani Sitake and you're Kyle Whittingham, do you want the game that carries so much weight here locally and could potentially define your season no matter what you do the rest of the year, do you want that on a short week? And for BYU, it's an even shorter week when you don't have Sunday to operate from. That's probably a non-starter, unless you schedule an FCS team the Saturday before that game for the Thanksgiving week, kind of like what Alabama and Auburn do. So then you get a little bit more creative. Okay, if you go to the Saturday on Thanksgiving weekend. We got a little bit of a taste of that in 2018. It was relegated in, and look, that was a return to tradition, right? 2018, Utah and BYU face off final week of the year. TV network said FS1 8:15, and that included a Pac-12 South champion. And the game started on Fox Business Channel. Tradition, though, right? I think that kind of glimpse right there shows you where it would have been. And November 30th at 8 o'clock at night? Who wants that? That'd be freaking cold. That'd be really cold. Look, it still could be cold at, you know, November 9th at 1 p.m., but still, it might be a little bit better weather. And Arizona State doesn't have as much history and intensity as BYU Utah, but they've also got the element of better weather. So if you're ESPN, Arizona State, 8:15, that's fine. Weather's going to be fine in Tempe or Tucson, wherever the game's played. So put that one November 30th. Again, the Big 12's got to get creative with the way they stagger their schedule. They're not built to just say, hey, we're the Big 12, we're going to just roll in and put our games wherever because we're the Big 12. That's the SEC. That's the Big 10. Whether that's right or wrong, it's not fair. Like, I get it, because I think this league's going to be pretty good still, but that's just where the narratives are growing. So the Big 12's got to think outside the box. I'm okay with it, because if you just plant your flag on tradition, it has to be this way, well, you're going to get left behind. And you're going to be what the Pac-12 was, where you're going to eventually dissolve. There's no reason to think, like, you can't just assume the Big 12 forever is going to be on this pedestal of being the third best league. Like, they have to continue to get better. Because who's to say that one day the Big 12 doesn't have the same fate that the Pac-12 had? And look, this is a much bigger conversation than just simply this game, but it's things like this. You just have to think outside the box. You have to get a little uncomfortable. But when BYU and Utah didn't play in seasons, and they didn't play at the end of the year to begin with, tradition went out the door. So now to say, well, you got to bring back tradition, why? These teams haven't played in a conference since 2010. Do you think current college students know about the days of BYU and Utah playing in the Mountain West and the WAC? The Big 12 wants a younger, hipper, cooler audience. Do you think that younger, hipper, cooler audience knows about the days when Ron McBride and Lavelle Edwards were on America First credit union channels putting post-it notes on their backs? 34, 31, BYU 3, Utah 1. Like, they don't care about that. You think high school recruits care about that? No, they don't care about that. But they care about big stages, their personal brands, getting on the biggest platforms. Last year, kind of, there was a little bit of a trial when, in retrospect, with this whole experiment of putting a traditional rivalry earlier on the schedule. Oklahoma State, I think, is the path that we're looking at here with BYU and Utah. Last year, Oklahoma State, traditionally a last game of the season, moved up to November 4th. And that game earned an ABC 1:30 p.m. spot. I think that's kind of the path you're looking at here for BYU Utah. And non-traditional rivalry week games have worked for the Big 12. Red River Rivalry was very successful in October. And look, Texas and Oklahoma have brands that are just massive. They're huge. You can't deny that. But it worked for the Big 12. And that was a game that was coveted by television networks. You got to think outside the box if you're the Big 12. So again, I'm okay with it. And look, if this is a massive failure by the Big 12's part, and they still got to deliver that network, and they got to deliver a great profile marquee television spot for this game, if it doesn't work, well, then throw it down on Thanksgiving weekend next year in 2025. But I'm okay with trying stuff, throwing it out there, seeing if it works. Because then also, too, after that game, you still have an opportunity to improve your season. From Utah's standpoint, you know, you look at their schedule, the Big 12 kind of gave them a layup. I mean, it's a schedule where they could be undefeated going into that BYU game. BYU's got a tougher schedule. We'll break it all down here shortly. But, you know, Utah, if they lost that game to BYU, they could still have room to grow in the college football playoff chase, which is now a 12-team playoff. And if you're the Big 12, you want to get more than just your conference champion. You want to get, you know, two, maybe three teams eventually. So I think there's kind of a thought process there that, hey, we know rivalries, anything can happen. And sometimes the last game of a season can sink a team's playoff chances. That's kind of the last thought of a team. So I'm okay with it. And look, hey, if you want the last game of the year, BYU and Utah, go to the Big 12 championship game. How about that? I'm okay with that November 9th date. I like this schedule as a whole, though. I think it's pretty tough. You know, BYU got a very difficult schedule. The KSL Sports Way Too Early Big 12 Power Rankings for 2024 came out earlier this month. And some of the top teams, Arizona, Oklahoma State, Utah, Kansas State, Kansas, five of the top six teams in the Way Too Early Power Rankings from KSL Sports are on BYU's schedule. The Big 12 opener against Kansas State September 21st, that's a good game. I think Avery Johnson, the quarterback, is going to have a higher potential, higher ceiling than Will Howard. I think Will Howard, you know, he goes into the portal. I don't think Kansas State was batting an eye. When they lost their offensive coordinator, Colin Klein, to Texas A&M, Colin Klein wasn't, you know, back-channel recruiting to get Will Howard over to College Station. He was trying to get Avery Johnson. Avery Johnson's the future at K-State, and he's the QB1. He's going to be better than Will Howard. And Will Howard was good. He was second team all Big 12 last year, but a weak year for Big 12 quarterbacks last season. This year's got a better crop of talent in the Big 12, and I think K-State will be a fun game. First time since 1997 Cotton Bowl that the Cougs and the Wildcats square off. First time since 1977 that Kansas State rolls into Provo. September 28th at Baylor, as I'd like to call the friendliest rivalry in the Big 12. These two programs, these two schools just love each other. They just do. I saw a little bit of that again at the basketball game at the Foster Pavilion earlier this month. Baylor had a welcome message to BYU joining the Big 12. Like, they both pray before games. They're faith-based institutions that have had their share of PR hits over the years. I mean, BYU and Baylor, you know, they've kind of got a little bit of a bond where they're unique and they do things in a different way. And I think they really kind of like that that bond they have. And Baylor will be interesting for what they are this year football-wise. Daquan Finn comes in at quarterback from Toledo. Good prospect. I think he's one of the better transfer portal quarterbacks in this cycle. Jake Spavital takes over as the offensive coordinator in replace of Jeff Grimes. Important year for Dave Aranda, who's definitely on the hot seat coming into 2024. Then you get a bye week, and I like the placement of the bye for BYU here because it honors, you know, the general conference request that BYU has. Last year, the Big 12 scheduled a Friday night game for BYU, and now they just get a full week to enjoy general conference and enjoy the weekend. And I think, again, there's a little bit of a respect factor when it comes to BYU's request and scheduling, and the Big 12 accommodates that once again. October 12th, they come out of the bye, and they stay home. They don't have to go back on the road. They get Arizona, who's the preseason way too early Big 12 number one team by KSL Sports. And that was before Jed Fish left for Washington. And there were some hits personnel-wise from the Arizona roster leaving to Washington, but not as many as you expected. Brent Brennan steps in from San Jose State. Now, I got to say, too, this was a job when it opened up after Jed Fish left. I kind of thought Jay Hill could be a name to watch here if Brent Brennan didn't get it, because Jay Hill was one of the top three guys that interviewed for this job when Jed Fish eventually got it. So I think it was a good move for BYU that Brent Brennan got the job, because you wonder if they would have then said, hey, we're going to go to Jay Hill maybe, because they had so much background on him. Could have been interesting to see what would happen there. But Arizona will be a good team. Noah Fifita, McMillan at wide receiver. The defense was nasty. I thought Arizona by season's end was a top six team in college football at the end of the year. I thought they were maybe good enough to be a playoff team. Like, I thought Arizona was outstanding. They were one of the hottest teams in college football when the season closed out. Week after that, Oklahoma State. Last year, this game was played in the regular season finale in Stillwater, and that was one of the most emotional scenes I've ever seen from a BYU football game. And it was heartbreak for the Cougars. And so there's a little bit of a revenge factor, and Mike Gundy rolls into Provo. Hopefully that's a Friday night game. That screams Friday night football to me, BYU, Oklahoma State. Not much history for Oklahoma State to play on Friday nights. Last year they kind of experimented with it last year against K-State. But I think that's Friday night football to the max, man. I love that matchup potentially on a weeknight. And then Saturday, October 26th at UCF, KJ Jefferson squares off against BYU again. BYU just can't get rid of that guy. UCF's interesting to me. I think that you think about the upside on what these programs can be from the recruiting front. This might be the program next to Texas Tech that has the highest ceiling for recruiting. And it's all based on location. You know, Texas Tech, UCF, where they're located, Houston, they just have a, 100-mile radius where they can get elite recruits. And UCF is building a very athletic roster. And I thought it was noteworthy that they kind of fought back last year, because after they got blown out by Kansas, I thought, man, Gus Malzahn is losing this team. You know, they lost that game to Baylor where they gave up the huge lead, and they dealt with injuries with John Reese Plumlee at quarterback. But the fact that they got to a bowl game and were kind of resilient, I think this is a group that could be pretty good in 2024. How good? I don't know. I'd say maybe 7-5, 8-4 still, but UCF will be a tough out, especially in the bounce house. I remember that place in 2014. It's one of the loudest stadiums I've been to. It was a rowdy group, too, and I saw a glimpse of their rowdiness at the UCF basketball game earlier this month. They get after it, and I think they are so energized to continue to be in the Big 12. I think that'll be a fun game. Utah, BYU, we went over that, but I think from a personnel side of Utah, you know, Cam Rising comes back. I think everyone's going to be talking about that. Defensively, they lost a lot more personnel than I think people will acknowledge. I think it's just always you expect Utah's defense to be great, and they will be tough defensively. But I also have some real questions about, you know, their skill positions. They did bring in some transfers from USC. You know, Utah will be solid. They, unlike most teams in the Big 12, they've just been consistent, and I think that's what gives them a chance to really be a factor in the Big 12, is that, you know, teams like Oklahoma State, Baylor, they'll have these incredible years and then they take a step back. Same with TCU. Like, Utah just maintained this 8-4, 9-3, had a few breakthroughs on 10-2, but, you know, the past few years, Utah's lost four games. They will drop some games in this league. It will happen. I don't think they're just going to run through and go 12-0 with ease. I think people that are saying that don't really know much about this conference, and they'll learn. Utah will be in the conversation for sure as a Big 12 title favorite. Saturday, November 16th, Kansas comes to Provo. First time ever for the Jayhawks that they roll into Provo. Last time a team played, the last team to play last team to face quarterback Jalen Daniels for Kansas was BYU. He didn't play another game after that September tilt last season with the Cougars, and he's dynamic. And look, they'll have a new offense coordinator. Jeff Grimes steps into the chair for Kansas, but I think it is noteworthy. The OC that left, Kyle Nicky, who went to Penn State, most of his assistants stayed on the staff with Leipold. So it wasn't one of those deals where he ups and leaves and then brings his whole staff with him. You know, Jeff Grimes kind of that disciplinarian, he's going to bring that toughness with the offensive line, the ground attack. They got Devin Neal back at running back. But that offense is still going to be kind of in the vision of what Leipold and those assistants have been running. Grimes now assimilates himself with that group. November 23rd at Arizona State. First time since 1997, BYU makes a trip to Tempe. Kind of crazy. You just think of the history that these two schools have from their days in the WAC, and they go that long, 27 years, between visits to Tempe. Kind of unusual, but that game in 2021 was so much fun. Tyler Allgeier had that forced fumble on Merlin Robertson. Good football game, and BYU and ASU should be a good one. How nice of a relief is it that BYU goes to Tempe late November? Oh, man, can you imagine that would have been October or September? Yikes. I love that it's a late November trip down to Arizona. And then November 30th, Houston comes to Provo. Look, BYU and Houston just always play entertaining games. And this is one of those matchups, too, when you think about Senior Day, you go, okay, these two teams have low expectations. Maybe this is the ultimate 5-6 game where both are saying, hey, TV networks love a good storyline, right? 5-6 teams, winner goes to a bowl, winner stays home. Like, that's the only thought process to why you would put this game on the final week of the season. There's been a history of entertaining games. All three of them have been very good games. That 2013 game was an all-timer, and it kind of gets forgotten, but that was a really good game. It was 47-46. Taysom Hill rewrote the NCAA record books in that game. And then the 2020 game was awesome, too. So Houston's going to be fun to watch. You know, I would add, too, Arizona State and Houston, the placement of them on the schedule makes these far tougher than you would have initially thought when there was no dates. And I say that because when you get to season's end, anything you think about this team, these teams in the preseason won't matter. They could be far better than we expect. You know, Kansas State, Arizona, early mid-season point of the season, you kind of, like, what your preseason prognostications are, it's kind of still playing out. You know, Arizona State and Houston could be complete surprises. So it's a tough schedule. And it's hard to assess what BYU's record would be in this schedule. There's going to be a lot of toss-up 50-50 ball games where BYU, once again, will probably be underdogs. Then you look at the non-conference schedule. Southern Illinois, at SMU, at Wyoming. I love the SMU game on a Friday night. I think that's entertaining. Again, when it's your non-traditional matchup that on a Saturday slate that ends up on ESPNU, throw that thing on a Friday night. Throw that thing on a Thursday night, please. And going into Dallas, I think it's critical for BYU to continue to have a presence in the state of Texas every single year. I like that series. I would have liked to have seen BYU schedule this home-and-home series with SMU to begin in Provo, because like BYU, SMU was kind of desperate too. SMU's only got 11 scheduled games. They needed more inventory than BYU did, yet somehow the Mustangs get the first game in Dallas. BYU's got to be a little more aggressive with the way they schedule, just personally. I think that they were a little bit too soft on that, because then the following week, you go on the road again, and you go to Laramie. I don't understand the reasoning and the logic behind going to Laramie. I just don't. It doesn't make any sense to me other than BYU's athletic administration gets the chance to heal old wounds that they left behind when they left the Mountain West in 2010. Does that help Kalani Sitake and this 2024 football team get closer to bowl eligibility? Absolutely not. Ask Texas Tech about a trip to Laramie. Ask Missouri about a trip to Laramie. It's not fun, and it doesn't help your metrics, your profile, because also, too, you have to think beyond just simply Big 12 championship and bowl eligibility. You got to think of things through the lens of how can you get to the 12-team playoff? The last thing you would want is to be a, you know, 10-1, 10-2 team with a black eye of a loss at Wyoming, because Wyoming's a program that, yeah, they'll be 8 wins sometimes, but more times than not, they're about 5-7. They got a new head coach, and look, BYU could win that game. But that's going to take on a life of its own, that game, because the Wyoming faithful, they still despise BYU. They still hate BYU with a passion. And that will mean everything to them. And I got to imagine, those Wyoming players that have no idea about the history of BYU and Wyoming, they will be told the story. Whereas BYU will not really tell a story, because the fans just don't have the hatred and the intensity for a Wyoming game like Wyoming does for BYU. No-win situation going to that game. And going forward, BYU needs to be more willing to say, hey, yes, you might have made the trip to Provo, but we're buying out of this game, i.e. South Florida in the future, East Carolina as well, and Troy. Those three games on the future schedules, get rid of those now. Now. There is no reason to have Wyoming, South Florida, East Carolina, and Troy. Wyoming's a little bit more acceptable because it's a drivable game, but those cross-country trips against G5 teams in non-conference on the road, zero sense. There's no reason to play those games. That's just my opinion. I would also add, too, I hope we get to a point in the 12-team playoff era where the FCS game is phased out. If you're BYU, you continue to schedule it because, well, everyone else is. But I hope we see a day in this 12-team playoff era where everyone just says, you know what? We don't need this FCS game. It needs to end now. Because, like, that, what do you learn from that game against Southern Illinois? Unless you beat them 63 to zip, what do you gain? Like, I just think it's more of one of those games, again, where you kind of split hairs and you're like, well, it wasn't that flawless. But even then, if you beat a team 63 zip, like, what are you gaining from that? I don't know. I just think that those FCS games, if you're going to play them, week one's fine because everyone's jonesing for football. Fine. But it's just, they're just a drag. Like, I would have rather seen Tennessee last year than Sam Houston. And I know Sam Houston was an FBS team. I know. You don't have to explain to me. But I'm kind of done with these FCS games. It's just a different, the budgets, the scholarships, it's a different world now. Like, I'm done with those games. Move on. I want to see Power Conference on Power Conference or just FBS versus FBS. I'm fine with that. If you want to play another Conference USA team, fine. But I want to see teams that have 85 scholarship players. That's what I want to see. And Southern Illinois has got a good program. Now, they've been a good FCS program. They were 8-5 last year, 4-4 in the Missouri Valley. But it's just, you know, doesn't do much for me. This is my thought. That's the 2024 BYU football schedule. Got extensive breakdown up on KSLSports.com. What are your thoughts? Feel free to tweet at me on X. Share your opinions. Also, you can email me, mharper@ksl.com. Share your thoughts, and I'll talk to you next time here on the Cougar Tracks podcast. It's always powered by KSLSports.com.